Amen. If you have a Bible this morning, open up to Matthew chapter 10. Thanks for being with us. I know many of you are readers. You love to read. And I want to encourage all of you. I believe readers are leaders and leaders are readers. Fight through reading if it's a challenge, but read. So I've been reading this book. It's called Turning Everyday Conversations into Gospel Conversations. For those of you that, want to get a head start, this is where I'm going. And this is what we're going to be preaching on, probably as we get through Thanksgiving and come into the Christmas series. Because this year, what I want to do for kind of Christmas and bring us into the new year is put our world before us the way the Lord had the world before him. To bring the reality of a broken world before a compassionate God. And his answer came in the most humblest, most prophetic and profound expressions. And that was being born of a virgin. And to be able to talk about that in such a manner that it doesn't just go in one ear and out the other ear, or to overcome the fear of declaring and bringing discovery of the gospel to others, is something that I know we have not done a great job of teaching on and equipping you with. Now, some of you are very well equipped, and it's a blessing. Some of you have no problem talking about the name of Jesus. Others of you, it's a new thing. It's a challenge. There's hurdles. But I have found this little book to be incredibly insightful, and it's not a gimmick. But he does have just a few things that really resonated with me that I thought, this is how I got saved. Not exactly, but this is how the conversation went. And because it resonated so deep to where my own conversion was re-examined, I felt like I'm going to grab a hold of it and I'm going to bring it before you. But I know some of you are readers and some of you want to know, like, Jeff, what are you reading these days? I just finished this. And again, it's Turning Everyday Conversations into Gospel Conversations. How many of you know you are all capable of preaching the gospel? Come on. You're all capable. But more importantly, whether you feel it like it or not, you're all called to it. Right? And so sometimes we base our response to the Lord based on what we feel is our capability. And that's something we can grow in. That's something the Holy Spirit can get a hold of. That's something that discipleship absolutely transforms and invests and creates a boldness and a courage. But don't ever dismiss the reality that you and I are called to preach the kingdom, to share the good news. And so we're in a series called The Kingdom of Heaven is at Hand. We started this a few weeks ago. I've been laying out a lot of foundation over the last few months about on earth as it is in heaven. I want you to look at this verse. We were in this verse last week. This is Matthew 7. It should be up on the screen, I think. We're going to get there. Maybe. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. Shelley, does that work? Thank you. Awesome. So we looked at this last week. I showed you verse 1. How many of you remember the key word in verse 1 of chapter 10? He gave them what first? Oh, we need to go back and preach last week's message because I think Chad is the only one that got it. Power. So chapter 10, verse 1, if you have your Bible open, or your tablet or your phone, you can scroll back to it. He gave them power. And then we jump down into verse 7 and he says, as you go in the power, preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely have you received, freely give. And what I want to do this morning is just show you a difference between the kingdom of God and the church of God. And so I've got three little statements here. Kingdom focused or church focused. And I intentionally put or. Excuse me. Are you a kingdom focused individual or are you a church focused person? And yes, we can be both, but I want to make a clear distinction. We are not called to be just church focused people. The church being the ecclesia, the governing body of the kingdom. How does this work? The word kingdom means a king in a domain, right? What is the domain of God's kingdom? All of creation. What is the domain that we're most particularly concerned about? Earth, because it's where we reside. That is a domain. The domain of our king is all creation. Therefore, his kingdom, including heaven and earth, this heaven, the natural heaven, the spiritual heaven, second heaven, and the heavenly heavens, the third heaven, are all part of his kingdom. And he has domain and rule over all of it. And what he has done is he has appropriated to us, he has empowered us, he has given us delegated power to go on his behalf. So if you've ever heard of an embassy, or you're aware of what an embassy does, or an ambassador, we are the ambassadors. And where we reside, we are to be an embassy. Meaning, if there was, as in Israel right now, and we have failed to fully recognize an embassy in Israel until President Trump came along and said, let's recognize it because it's so politically hot. But we now recognize that we have ground in that country. We have a authority in our embassy. It's as if the United States resides in that country, in that border, in the allotted property lines. The ambassadors and the other officials, while they're on that property, have the full backing of the United States. But their purpose there is to be representatives to the rest of the people, to the rest of the nation, to the other policymakers and the government going ons. And we have them here in the United States, embassies with ambassadors. So we, living temples of the Lord, with the kingdom of heaven residing in us, are an embassy. And as we go as ambassadors, according to the word, we are called to represent the kingdom. Meaning, if we see sickness, we can walk up to sickness and as a representative of this kingdom, go, you're illegally trespassing. And we can declare that in faith, knowing that we have the full backing of heaven to enforce the removal of sickness. Now, why doesn't it always happen? I don't know. But let's just start by asking the question, do you believe what you're called to represent? Are you standing in faith with the words that are coming out of your mouth? Meaning, sickness, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. But the picture that I want you to have is that it's occupying territory in this realm, in this natural place, that we as ambassadors have a right to bring the kingdom. Because the kingdom, the domain of the king, is all creation. So no one is off limits. Atheists, possessed people, demonic, all that stuff is illegally trespassing. Because you and I are called to go and preach the kingdom as ambassadors, as embassies, as living testimonies, as ones who have been delegated the power by faith according to the blood of Jesus Christ and the infilling of the Holy Spirit to make the kingdom of heaven known on earth as it is in heaven. Another picture, if you will, is when an engineer sets out to build a bridge. Part of their process to building that bridge is to understand its purpose. It's not just to connect two points. It's to move certain people or traffic. Meaning they have to understand what amount of weight, what will be going over that bridge. What will the wind do with the bridge? What will rain do? What will erosion do? What will the weight of traffic do? How much weight? What's its capacity? So it's not a matter of just, you know, putting a string across a river and saying, hey, there's a bridge. It's a matter of what are we trying to move from one side to the other side. So, God wanted to move heaven to earth. He is fully aware of what he's trying to move. He knows exactly what he's doing. The best engineer of all. Therefore, in the design of the bridge to move heaven to earth and to create an access or a movement from earth to heaven, guess what he chose to make the bridge? You and me. Meaning, you and I are more than capable. Not by our might, not by our strength, but by his Spirit. You and I are that bridge. So when you disqualify yourself by saying, oh Lord, I'm not enough. Oh Lord, you wouldn't want to use me. What you're saying is that his design isn't sufficient. That somewhere his design was flawed. And the truth is, it was because of sin. But if you are a born again believer, he has come and reinforced it with the blood of his son. So when he calls us to go, he's calling us because he knows we're capable. Or that we have put our faith and our posture of faith in a place that now he's saying, I can do all things through him who loves me. Thank you for being a bridge so that I can connect with the world. Thank you that the bridge becomes more fortified when we bind each other, bind ourselves to one another. In Ephesians 4, when we are knitted together and finally fit, we recognize that the width of the bridge, the length of the bridge, the height of the bridge, the depth of the bridge increases. Therefore, being an invitation for others to come and experience heaven, or for us to invite heaven to come and invade this earth. When Jesus said, go, he knew full well what he was saying. He gave his disciples power and he sent them out. And oftentimes when we read these, if I could get that second one. So are you kingdom focused or church focused? We start to think that somehow, the next one. The kingdom is bigger than the church. And sometimes we get that out of sync. We start to think as we go, oh, I'm going representing Echo Hills. Well, God bless you for that. Let me know how far you get. Because the truth is, I don't want you going just representing Echo Hills. I want you going and representing Jesus. I want you going with an understanding that the kingdom is bigger than the church, big C, although it's all bold, or the local church. And sometimes we put all our attention, all our emphasis on the church, the local church, and we lose sight that God is interested in all creation. Meaning you weren't sent to be a bridge to the person just sitting next to you on a Sunday morning. You were sent to be a bridge or to connect heaven and earth and heaven everywhere you go. And as you go, you become kingdom focused because now you realize as an ambassador of Jesus Christ sent with the commission to go and preach the gospel, that no one is off limits and no place is off limits. And that the only purpose that we want to be about is the Father's business that Jesus told us and discipled us in, that the Spirit is still speaking to us today. And so as you go, ask yourself, am I focused on just building the local church? Am I interested in just inviting people to Echo Hills? Or is it about the kingdom? And here's my third thought. The kingdom is not a means to a bigger church. And this is what happens sometimes, is that we start to encounter the kingdom and we start to see healings and deliverances and demons cast out and the raising of the dead, all the things that Matthew records Jesus commanded us to go and do. And then all of a sudden, we start to see what the word would recognize as the restitution, the reconciliation, the revival movement, the awakening. And our seats start to fill up. And we start to be super excited about, oh my gosh, look at all the people getting saved. Look at this place being filled. That's awesome. Listen, I want that. As long as we're making disciples. And as long as we're filling this place up and sending people out. Because what I don't want is a reservoir. I don't want to just become something that we dam off and we swim around in here. I want us to be a flowing river that is moving and moving people on earth as it is in heaven. And so the kingdom is not a means to a bigger church. The church is a means to demonstrate the kingdom. Meaning you and I get to go out and demonstrate the kingdom. And what we should be doing here is experiencing the kingdom as demonstrated through the fellowship of the saints, through the equipping of the church, through the signs and wonders and all those things that build up our faith so that when we go out, we are assured in our faith that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And if they doubt you, then you should have a place that comes and says to invite them so you can come and say to them, okay, come follow me as I follow Christ and let's see this happen together. And we encourage one another, allow the kingdom of heaven to be at hand, but then we go again and we meet people right where they're at. Because when we get this backwards, thinking that the kingdom of heaven is demonstrated only when the church is gathered, and the definition of the church is Sunday morning at 10 a.m., how quickly we have grieved and quenched the Holy Spirit. Grieved him in the sense that we've lost sight of the kingdom, and now we're sinning in our self-righteous attitude that we got it all. And quenching him because we've walled him off from moving us out into the earth. So when we stop and look at these verses in Matthew, again, as you go preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely have you received, freely give. What we need to recognize is that there's a shift that God is wanting us to apprehend because the local church is beautiful. And the local church should be multiplying. And the local church has its place to equip the saints, to encourage you, to connect you, and to send you out to advance the kingdom. And when we get into this place where we recognize the truth of how the church and the kingdom operate, all of a sudden we can recognize that if we settle for just being church people, we lose sight of the kingdom vision and we become very inward focused. What happens with church people that lose sight of the vision? All of a sudden, our gospel becomes very opinionated. We've become cultural Christians versus biblical Christians. What do I mean by that? I mean that cultural Christians move according to the way the world moves. They find their place and their peace according to the terms the world sets. Biblical Christians live above the culture. They set a new culture, a new standard. Jesus did something phenomenal when he walked on water. Absolutely defied physics. The Son of God. Peter, getting out of the boat, defied the natural realm, walked on water. But Jesus never taught us to become a culture of water walkers. He didn't. Do I want to walk on water? Yes. Have I tried? Yes. Have I succeeded? Not yet. But I see it in the word. Lord, you did it. You allowed Peter to do it. You know, I know Peter's a little better than me, but I'm working there. Call me out, Lord. But cultural Christians take aspects of the word and they try to fit in with what the world allows them to fit in. And that's not what God called us to. What he called us to is the miraculous and the kingdom culture that is supposed to be transplanted into the culture. And he likened it like this. A little bit of yeast will infect the whole loaf. A little bit of the kingdom that you and I get to bring in a moment can change the culture. It can infect it. It can radically transform communities. And in the process of trying to be kingdom people and distinguish ourselves from just being church focused, in the last 100 years, as I've read different commentaries and different books and looked at different things, there's this thread that begins to arise and get pulled out. And it's, I don't need the church. The church has hurt me. I don't need them. The church isn't doing anything. I'm not going there. And there's a lot of validity. There's a lot of truth. But that is cultural Christianity. Allowing the terms of our culture to determine the kingdom's voice. And there is a brokenness in the church. There will always be a brokenness in the church until Jesus comes and restores all things. Because we are a broken people. We are a people that are learning to figure it out. And that isn't something to carry as a badge. I'm a broken person. But it's something to realize that the power of Jesus at work heals and restores. And yet we are still vulnerable. We are still tempted. Sin is still real. And so when you run across individuals that are saying to you that the Lone Ranger Christianity that they're following is good enough for them, I hope the Spirit of God in you would be allowed to grieve. Because there is a grieving that the Spirit of God does when he sees his body fractured. When he sees his children not understanding the value of community. When the brokenness goes undealt with. The two greatest things that you and I have to be aware of that will cause our heart to grow cold is unforgiveness. The unwillingness to forgive, allow the Lord to forgive, his fruitfulness of in forgiveness to work, all the nature of forgiveness, the beauty of forgiveness. When we don't allow that to have its place in our life, we will grow hard of heart. And the other thing is indifference. Apathy. I just don't care. It doesn't matter. Yeah, I'm born again, but I'm not about to go and preach the kingdom of God. I don't believe in healing. The dead being raised, come on, Jesus, no, that all ended with the apostles. You know, the indifference causes the heart to grow cold and then quenches and grieves the spirit from bringing wisdom and restoration. So when we stop and we think, am I a kingdom person or am I just a church attender? I'm hoping there's a conviction that the Holy Spirit's unpacking. Because sometimes as church people, we seek discipleship in this expression. Who do I know? Who do I know that's already born again? Who do I know that is going to agree with what I agree with because it's cultural Christianity? Versus a discipleship that begins by you looking at a coworker that doesn't even know Jesus and your walk can become a living testimony to disciple them. You can walk into the office. This happens to Jacqueline all the time. She shares this with me. This is my wife, Jacqueline. She'll walk into an office because of her job situation, and people will just ask, why are you so happy? And my wife loves to say, no, I'm just kidding. I was going to put words in her mouth. I probably shouldn't do that. I was going to say she gets after them because you're going to hell and I'm not, but that's not what she says. So now I got that out of the way because that's the last thing my wife would ever say. No, my wife just simply responds by, because it's a good day. I've got a lot to live for. And she weighs the temperature of the room, of the individual, of the depth of relationship to bring herself to a point where now, you know, she's free in a lot of cases to say, oh, God is good. Jesus is good. Because they know she's a Christian. And she's discipling them. Without them even knowing it. Some of us have been discipled in the wrong way without us even knowing it. And we need to be sensitive to that by the Spirit of God. So when we talk about discipleship in the kingdom, it's not about just grabbing another born again believer and having a good Bible study. It's about being the bridge that brings heaven to earth and allowing people to access heaven from earth. You are that bridge. Be the disciple that God called you to be in such a manner that the kingdom becomes evident. A few things to consider. I wrote these down. I didn't put them on the screen this morning. Maybe next in a couple weeks, I'll do that. The Big C church is people. It's not a building. Everybody knows that. I hope you don't think otherwise. If you do, start thinking differently today. But it's not just people. It's an apostolic missional community. What do I mean? The word apostle means messenger. Missional means they have a vision and a mission, a destination. And community means they're in a common unity. Our common unity is Jesus. We are an apostolic missional community as the body of Christ, not just as Echo Hills. So you should be able to celebrate when you meet other Christians. Yes, there are theological Christians, there are biblical Christians, there are cultural Christians, there's opinionated Christians, there are angry Christians, there are starving Christians, there are pre-Christians, there are non-Christians, there are super spiritual Christians, there are hyper Christians, there are loud Christians, there are quiet Christians, there are a whole lot of different Christians because, again, the word Christian means little believer, a born-again believer who's a follower of Christ. Let's not label each other. Let's go after sons and daughters. Let's go after the kingdom language that identifies us as sons and daughters. The church can also be illustrated as a rope, meaning it is the lifeline to bring people in. The gospel is a rope that you can put out there, and if somebody wants to grab it, they will end up following you. But are you even putting it out there? Because as an apostolic missional community, we are called to be a lifeline. Meaning of the bridge that comes in and can bring hope to the hopeless, life to the uncertain, peace to the chaos. The church is also portrayed as a body. Paul breaks this down in Corinthians. We are a body of many parts. Does the eye have a right to say to the foot, I don't need you? You've heard many times I've preached this, and I've said simply this. The issue in the body of Christ isn't the parts. It's the joints. The places where we're supposed to connect, be joined together. And what we have to pray for and ask the Lord to continue to remedy and fix and heal by his power, by his blood, by his spirit, is our coming together, the joints. And as kingdom people, we recognize that I actually need others in my life to fulfill what God has called me to fulfill. As kingdom people operating as the body of Christ, we are many parts, but one body. Another picture, the church, the Big C church, is supposed to be a table with an invitation, come and eat. Jesus gave a parable where he said he sent out his servant to invite people to a wedding feast, to come and eat at the table. But they were too busy. I've got bills to pay. I've got a dentist appointment. I got a football game to watch. This is the Message translation for those of you that don't know that. You know, I've got things to do. I'm too busy to attend your feast. To be in your presence. And the beauty of the parable, because it's a picture of the Father's heart, he doesn't just shut the door and say, oh, all right then. What he does is he sends the servants back out. Go into the highways, to the byways and to the hedges. Meaning go to the marginalized. Go to the broken, go to the addicts, go to the prostitutes, go to the broken, go to those that wouldn't regularly be recognized as a born again believer. Go to them because I bet you they're hungry. Because there's a feast that the Lord has set for all of us to eat. And I apologize if you feel like you're starving because that is not the kingdom. That is the effect of an unattentive church. And I don't want to be that. I don't want us to be that. But at the same time, you also have to respond to the invitation. Come. Come and eat. And as you are invited, bring what you have. Bring where you're at. Bring where you've been. Good, bad, ugly, indifferent, hard-hearted, glory-filled, spirit, sword-wheeling, whatever, wherever you've been, make sure you're sitting at the table. And the beautiful thing about this table is that it's set in the presence of our enemy, the devil. So that we can sit there and feast and go, too bad. No matter what you say, sorry for you. You can spew your lies. You can bring your deception. You can try to afflict. But I know who I am. And I know where I'm seated. And I'm going to feast. Years ago, Jacqueline and I set out on this mission. The greatest way to make people hungry is to feast in front of them and invite them to join you. Because how many of you know the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink? Well, I can invite you to the table. I can't make you eat, but I can sure make it look good. And I can offer you a bite. I can offer you what I've come to have. Because freely I have received, freely I will give. The last thought I want to give you before I send you out this morning, and we'll unpack this in the weeks to come. Is this idea of how Jesus sent them. And this is verses 9 through 15. And don't worry, I'm not going to break these all down. I just want to put them before you. Because one of the things that I know is on my heart isn't just to tell you what the word says. Isn't just to remind you, hey, the word says, go preach, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And as you go, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. That's great. We can know all that. But as the church, many members of one body, we are called to be equipped to know how to do these things. And Jesus begins to unpack that. And what I want to send you out with is his next set of verses right after this, starting in verse 9. He tells them, provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money bags. Doesn't take much to go. You're not going to need much. It's not about money. Just go. I said I wasn't going to break it down, but I won't. Nor bag for your journey, nor tunics. You might need a tunic. Nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. Verse 11. Now, whatever city or town you enter, Lewiston, Clarkston, Assotin, Lapway, Moscow, Pullman, Pomeroy, wherever you go this week, inquire who in it is worthy and stay there till you go out. Meaning, look for the kingdom. Look for the kingdom that is in other people. Look for the kingdom that's moving on other people. Don't just see the sinners. Know that you're supposed to go and find what God is already doing. Look for them. Have eyes to see this week in your workplace. Look for them because they're there. God is doing something that you might not even see. They might not even fully understand. But trust that if he sends us out, inquire who in it is worthy to stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. Meaning greet them and meet with them. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. Some of you need to go back and pick up the peace that you left at somebody else's house. Because they offended you, they got bitter with you, they cursed you, they didn't like you, they had a different opinion of you, you were indifferent to them, you left your peace there, and it's now robbing you of the joy and the call to go. And what Jesus equips them with is this clear understanding. Listen, not everybody's going to want to know that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Not every demon-possessed person wants to be set free of the demon. Not every sickness that is around, they want to be sick free from. I'm butchering that. Not every person who is sick wants to actually be healed because their identity is in the sickness. But those that are worthy, let your peace come upon them. It's who you are. You bring the peace because you're the ambassador bringing the kingdom. Let it resonate. Work the joint. Connect. But if there's no joint there, move on. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Can I just pause you for a moment and just get this visualization? So from the dust we came, from the dust we'll return, right? We will all encounter death of some sort. And God, please come quickly and just catch us all up. But in some way, there will be death for all of us because of the nature of sin. But the promise is that you and I have a life that we can look forward to as an eternal life. And we are more than flesh and blood. But we are constantly shedding skin cells. Death is constantly evolving and coming off of us. The picture here is that when you enter a house and they didn't receive you, their yuck isn't yours to carry. Their death, the stuff they're shedding, the stuff they want to just lay in, live with, die with, whatever you want to label it as, Jesus is fully telling us and equipping us. Listen, you didn't go to the cross to carry that. He did. Your burden-bearing spirit that is so beautiful, that wants to love these other individuals to the point that you're willing to carry off their death, their skin cells, their cat hair, their dog hair, whatever you encountered in their home, Jesus is saying, shake it off. Not with a flip of a finger as you walk out the door, but like, you know what, Lord? Thank you. Thank you. I'm free. I did what I thought you asked me to do. Because no matter what, I'm called to love. And as I shake it off and I depart from that house, I'm moving on. And as I move on, surely I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, all that death, in the day of judgment than for that city. And the last thing that I want to just make sure I land this with is that it's interesting to me that Jesus is sending them out to preach that the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead. It's all these interactions with individuals. But Jesus still sees them as communities. He sees them as cities. Cities are made up of people. Therefore, it's going to take all of us to reach our cities. And it may happen one at a time. But if we are faithful, each of us reaching one who will reach one who will reach one will change a city, change a community. And what I think the Apostle Matthew here is doing in his writing, especially in this section as you go through the rest of 10, and we'll look at it in a few weeks, is that he's reminding us, don't get caught up in the individual. Don't get caught up in just the local church. Keep the kingdom before you. Keep the reality that God sees that person wherever they're at, however they responded to you. He sees them because he's the king in the kingdom. And you and I are called to be the ambassadors that go and bring the message of the kingdom. And if they don't want to receive it, it's okay. We love you, but somebody will. And one of the best things that you and I can probably grow in is overcoming rejection. Overcoming a sense of defeat from the world so that we can really test our faith in knowing that we've won in the kingdom. Amen? Would you stand with me? I want to send you out. If any of you need prayer, if I could get some of the healing room team members up forward or to come forward to pray. There will be prayer available for any of you that just need the extra help to break through. Yes, please see Brenda. The quilt is up. You can help support what's going on in Kenya with Tuma Ini children, Horace and Phyllis. And that's available out there. Brenda will be back with us next week. But I want you, don't leave this place if there's heartache or brokenness or fear or anything that might contend or challenge you from taking the kingdom. And the other thing is if you've been wounded by the church and therefore aren't able to fully engage the kingdom work. That'd be something to break free from. The other thing that I would encourage all of you, because I'm going to say it here in a moment as I pray for you, is that you would be aware of forgiveness and indifference. The roadblocks or the landmines to quench and grieve the movement of the Spirit. And if you need help with that, there's no shame. But ask somebody from one of our prayer team members to pray for you and say, Lord, help me. Help me get through indifference. Help me get through this apathy. Help me get through this unforgiveness and this hurt. Because the Lord will hear that prayer as you offering up your cup of salvation, and he will bless us and bless you. Amen. Amen. Put your hands on your heart this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you've called us beloved, that we are your sons and daughters, and that, Lord, we are not just the church. We are not just members of a local church. We're not just gathering under a title or under a label or under some religious system, but that we are sons and daughters of a king who's looking over his kingdom and saying to his ambassadors, go. Go and preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I pray that, Lord, every landmine of unforgiveness would be exposed and pulled out right now in the name of Jesus. Father, that every place where indifference sits, maybe not holistically, but if it's specific to an area of our lives, it's still a hindrance, Lord. Come and bring freedom in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that we'd be a people who know how to confess. And in our confession and in our repentance, we would access the beauty of your kingdom and all its glory. Let the fullness of the Spirit move upon us as we go in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Be blessed this morning. Bless someone else. Come and get some prayer. Check in with Brenda. Say hi to someone you haven't said hi to. And have an amazing week bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. God bless you.